You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show on the Choose Yourself Network. Today on the James Altucher Show.
There's many ways dreams change.
Absolutely.
So you often have something you're really interested or fascinated with when you're like 13 years old.
Yeah.
But as you age, your interests and your dreams, those specific dreams, age. So for instance, Matthew Berry, who's been on this podcast, you know, he was interested in sports when he was a kid. And we don't know him as an athlete, but he is the first and maybe only fantasy sports anchor on ESPN. So his dream of being an athlete aged, and now he's living the life of his dreams. Hold on. So this book, Choose Yourself, have you heard of it? There's a, you know, what's the subtitle of the book?
I don't know. I don't have it committed to memory. I mean,
It's just a subtitle of a book you've looked at 1,000 times.
Yeah, 100%. Choose Yourself, not others.
No. That would be a better subtitle.
Oh, interesting.
See, I think why do books have subtitles except as a joke? Like, I sort of, like, for instance, you just gave me Mark Manson's next book,
right.
Mark, you know, so Mark's, I always forget the title of everything. His first book's a huge hit. He's been on the podcast.
The Subtle Art of Not Giving a...
Yeah, of Not Giving a Fuck. And yeah.
You have
his
a
next
foul
book,
mouth.
His next book is coming out in a few months, and he's going to come on the podcast. So we got an early edition, and the title is Everything is Fucked. And he's got a subtitle, but the subtitle is appropriate because it's tongue-in-cheek and it's funny. So the book, the title is Everything is Fucked. The subtitle is A Book About Hope. So that's
right,
a little funny,
right,
a little
right,
tongue-in-cheek.
Right.
And so, you know, everybody told me for Choose Yourself, I needed a subtitle. And I just think subtitles are BS. Like, I can never, even when we have authors come on the podcast, I can never remember the subtitles of their books because they're just useless, but the publisher makes them put it on. So I put on a subtitle of mine, and I should have made it more tongue-in-cheek. It was kind of meant as tongue-in-cheek, but I think people take it seriously because it doesn't really sound tongue-in-cheek, but it's Be Happy, Make Millions, Live the Dream, which is just a stupid subtitle. It means nothing. It's like a meaningless subtitle. For instance, Be Happy, I don't really care about that much. You know, happiness is like one emotion among many. Make Millions, I don't think you need to make millions to choose yourself.
Sure.
There's plenty of people who choose themselves because they don't make millions and have found happiness and freedom and well-being in other ways. And Live the Dream, I actually don't think there is a dream. The dream's constantly changed.
I have a few things to say to that.
Tell me.
One, when you say the publisher, wasn't that book self-published? You know, it's kind of kind of like Charles Barkley, who I just had the great fortune of running into in the city. Well, Charles Barkley is the greatest person, but he claimed he was misquoted in his own autobiography, you know. So, you know, again, don't point the finger, James. Point the thumb.
No, it's true.
Look at
it's
yourself.
True.
Look
it's
at
true.
Yourself.
Everyone, all my friends told
choose to
me,
blame yourself.
I am choosing to blame myself. All my friends told me I should have a subtitle, and I felt like I should do it. I should have just had an exclamation point instead of the subtitle.
Yeah. And I remember when I was in college, you know, I had a column in it, and you know, we could call it whatever we wanted, and my college friends wanted me to call it Co-Knows, and I was stubborn, and I said, oh, I should have called it just Coincide. You know, everybody had, like, their little name to it, and I don't know if I had a do-over, some 20, 30 years later, I would probably just listen to them. And if there's a lesson to this, maybe listen to our friends, you know.
No, my friends wanted me to have the subtitle.
Yeesh. Why they want that one?
I didn't want one.
Oh, wow.
I just picked one random one.
No, but I think you do need some. You do need some subtitle, don't you? You just want to say,
why?
Maybe it was the problem isn't the problem. The problem is the perception of the problem. Maybe the problem is that you have a subtitle. You know, the problem is that you picked an underwhelming.
Right. So I could have picked maybe, like, I'm on sort of the edge of being serious or being tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
And it ends up being neither. It's neither serious or tongue in cheek.
Because, look, when you have a book title or anything, right? Like, a person writes an article, they have a headline. Sometimes they don't write the headline, but it's designed to get you to, you know, that sinister way people have of making you buy things, you know. But it's like, so in this case, why should I pick up this book, you know? And it's.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, I kind of figured Choose Yourself is a call to action and maybe people will get it. But at the time, I think I was worried some people would think, oh, it's maybe a selfish title when it's like the exact opposite of that. And I don't know, I thought maybe Make Millions, blah, blah, blah. But I was also tongue in cheek because, like, I've never believed that people should follow their dreams since dreams can change every day or every year. You know, I always use as an example, you probably know the answer to this, or maybe we've talked about it before. I don't know if we've talked about it before. We were just.
But I still probably know the answer.
Who was the president before Abraham Lincoln?
Oh, yeah, that I know. But I mean,
did we talk about that on this podcast before?
You talked about it, I believe, might have been with Mark Malkoff. I mean, you did talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
He talked about it. You have that joke. And then at the time, I did not know that. But now I do know it. But I'll sound obnoxious if I do say it.
Right. Well, I asked Mark who, and it was on the podcast. I asked him who was the president before Abraham Lincoln. I had done it in front of an audience. Nobody knew the answer. I forget if he knew the answer or not, but the answer is James Buchanan. And my whole point was, here's a guy who probably when he was a little kid, everyone asked him, what's your dream? And he said, my dream is to become president of the United States. And everyone was probably like, you can't.
Right.
Who are you to think you're a little kid? You can't be president of the United States. Don't be an idiot. Like, there's a lot smarter people than you. And then he rose up to achieve all his dreams, become president of the United States.
Yeah.
And now, just 150 years later, not a single person remembers him.
Yeah.
So like, dream, just should just focus on choosing yourself rather than living some kind of man-made dreams.
And speaking of that, you know, I want to give some credit to Charlemagne the God, who came on our podcast. You did a great interview with him, but he, in his book, Black Privilege, he talked about the idea, you know, he had like eight different tenets, and one of them was to fuck your dreams. Again, it's a very foul-mouthed blue podcast, so I apologize, you know.
No, if you look at the bestsellers, by the way, it's like six out of 10 books have the word fuck in it now.
Yeah, but he was essentially saying, you know, that, you know, okay, people say, follow your dreams. And he said, my dream was to be a rapper, but I was a terrible rapper. I wasn't good at it. So then I could kind of get into that industry by following maybe it in a more broad term. You know, again, if you get too didactic about like, oh, I want to follow this particular pursuit because you think that's what you should be doing, that's not a good thing either.
Yeah, like, and you know, that's a very interesting thing about following your dreams. So you often have something you're really interested or fascinated with when you're like 13 years old. Like, let's say Charlamagne wanted to be a rapper. But as you age, your interests and your dreams, those specific dreams, age. So for instance, with Charlamagne, rather than being a rapper, he was able to become, you know, possibly the most popular radio host about the rap and hip hop industry and culture and so on. So that was a way his dream aged. Or Matthew Berry, who's been on this podcast, is the, you know, he was interested in sports when he was a kid. And he obviously didn't become an athlete. We don't know him as an athlete, but he is the first and maybe only fantasy sports anchor on ESPN. If I walk down the street with Matthew Berry, like, everybody's stopping and saying hi and thanks because he does all the picks for, you know, the fantasy draft picks and so on. So his dream of being an athlete aged, and now he's living the life of his dreams.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's one way dreams change. There's many ways dreams change.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. I think successful people embrace change and you figure out how to adapt and change and not be too concerned about and that I think is going to be one of the things we talk about is like focusing on process rather than outcome, right? Some people are fixed to a certain outcome. They want to be something thinking it's going to bring them what they'd like.
Right. So like, let's take Matt Barry as an example, with the sports and fantasy sports. Yeah. So he was interested in being an athlete. He probably wasn't as athletic as a professional athlete, I'm assuming. He pursued that interest by every day, learning more and more, studying it, writing about it, looking at different opportunities as they resulted. Like, fantasy sports didn't exist when he was a kid.
Yeah.
So once it did exist, he was able to channel his enthusiasm for sports into fantasy sports. And so sometimes the dream you want hasn't even been created when you first start having that dream. But if every day you kind of do a little bit in that direction, then you'll find something there that sets your heart on fire a little bit.
Yeah, and I think if you just keep at it, you'll find your way. I always found it interesting. I remember Garrett Trudeau, who did Doonesbury. He was at Yale in the late 60s, and he was this nerdy little self-admitted nerdy guy. I mean, I'm a nerdy person myself. No, I'm not anti-nerd. But he would write about all these football players on campus and do cartoons, and he became, 20, 30 years old. He's married Jane Pauley, and he's doing really well. You don't think of those particular football players at that time, so you could transcend a certain time period, right? Like you, maybe chess team, you and your fellow chess masters.
So
had all the cheerleaders at your matches.
Well, that's just it, is that, being the best chess player in your school, or in my case, the best high school player in my state, was not equivalent. Nobody wakes up and says, I really want to go out with the, no girl ever wakes up in high school and says, I really want to go out with the best chess player in the school. You know, they might say the cutest guy in the school, or they might say, the best athlete in the school. They're not going to ever say, I really want to go out with like the class clown. Well, or the chess player.
It makes me think of, I think Johnny Carson used to have this line that, the least heard phrases in the English language. And one I think was, that's the banjo player's Porsche, And one of them was probably like that, just like that.
Was Johnny Carson a banjo player?
I don't think he was a banjo player. We certainly got to ask Mark Malkoff. And another one, obviously, he said, you're a Jehovah's Witness? Come on in, So there are phrases like, hey, let me go out with the chess master. Well, now there's Magnus Carlsen, Garry Kasparov.
Yeah, well,
people really
Magnus Carlsen
loved
was
Garry
a model for G-Star, and now he's the world chess champion.
Yeah.
And by the way, so we have an ex-Jehovah's Witness in the audience.
I know I can get in trouble with that. That's why I was reluctant. Don't blame me. Blame Johnny Carlsen.
Did you ever knock on a door and they said, come right in. We'd love to talk to you about the 144,000 people going to heaven.
Never.
Not even you, like your sweet little girl with Girl Scout cookies or whatever, Jehovah's Witness cookies?
I was 5. I don't remember.
Did your parents ever say, don't talk to strangers? It's like the opposite of Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah. Like, throw her in that house with strangers and close
the
door.
Exactly.